The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And a very special welcome to right-wing extremists everywhere. Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. Do I consider myself an extremist? No, not at all. In fact, I'm pretty mainstream. If you go back just a few years, one of the weapons of the political and even theological left is marginalization. You paint your enemies as extremists. Now, if you look at what I believe theologically, it is absolutely traditional Bible-believing Christianity. I can't think of anything that I believe theologically that 100 years ago would have been considered radical. 200 years, 300 years, 400 years. No, pretty mainstream. Now, if you go back to the Reformation, there were some who would consider what I believe to be radical, because I do believe that the Bible is the sole authority. I believe that salvation is completely and totally by grace through faith. But if you look at the history of Christianity, that's right down the middle mainstream Christianity. But today, those things are considered extreme. Now, if you listen to this program on a regular basis, there are certain little sayings, little phrases that I repeat often, and one of them is the devil lives in the extremes. And I really do believe that. But I don't believe that I, nor most of you, are extremists. But as the world around us continues to lean farther and farther to the left and farther away from biblical principles, politically, obviously, and theologically, we who, for most of history, have been mainstream seem like extremists. But it's, you know, it's... you young people wouldn't know what this is all about. But there was a time when cars did not have bucket seats. They all had what was called a bench seat. Yeah, no buckets. In fact, I learned something. Let me chase just a quick little rabbit. I am so blessed. I am so fortunate to have my dream car. Now, it's not a Lamborghini. No, it's not a Ferrari. No, it's not a Corvette. It's not even a Mustang. I have an old Ford pickup. Wanted one for many, many years, never could afford one. Because that was my first car. Well, not my first car. I had 3 or 4 cars before I got my driver's license. It was my family. But it's a car I took my driver's test in, a 51 Ford pickup. And a long story, someone actually gave me my dream car. And anyway, I noticed that there is a door lock, you know, a key door lock on the passenger side, but not on the driver's side. Well, I remember the cars from the 50s and the 60s, but that didn't make any sense to me. And I finally asked someone, do you think the door on my truck is original? Because there's a door lock, keyhole on the passenger side, but not on the driver's side. And, you know, maybe the door was replaced or something. And they said, no, that's the way they were. Back in the 50s, you always, if you went to town, you parked on the street. You didn't get out on the street side. You had a bent seat. You just scooted across. You got out on the passenger side, and you locked the passenger side because nobody got out on the driver's side in town. Well, anyway, forgive me for chasing that rabbit. What I started to say is young people have no idea what even a bench seat is. But a couple that had been married many years, driving down the road, and they've got a car with a bench seat. And the wife says, she's on the passenger side, the husband is driving, so he's on the driver's side, and she says, you know, I think it's terrible. We used to sit together because with a bent seat, if your girlfriend or your wife, she sat in the middle. She didn't sit way over on the passenger side. She sat in the middle close to you when you were driving. So the wife says, we used to sit close together and we don't do that anymore. And the husband said, well, guess who moved? Because the steering wheel wouldn't move, so it wasn't him that moved. Anyway, an old joke that young people would have no clue what it means. But anyway, who has moved? People who hold to firm, solid, biblical truth, they are not the ones that have moved. It's the culture and the society around us. Churches that hold to the inerrancy of Scripture, the bodily resurrection, the blood atonement, the virgin birth, the literal flood, literal 7 days of creation. Churches who believe those things have not moved. That's what Orthodox Bible-believing churches have believed for centuries. It's the rest of the theological world that has moved. The reason I bring this up is because of something that's happening in Italy. Believe it or not. Yeah, something that's happening in Italy. But also, I want to encourage you to remain true to truth, to stand for truth. Folks, listen, we are not the extremists. And don't let the world paint you as some kind of an extremist because you believe the Bible. You believe in creation. You believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. You believe that there really was a flood. You believe that Jesus really was the Son of God and God himself. And he really did die and he really did rise from the grave on the third day. This is what Christians throughout history have believed. And we stand in a long, long, long line of people who would rather die than compromise on those fundamental doctrines of Scripture. We are not the extremists. So don't be embarrassed that you believe the Bible, all of the Bible. And don't let the world around you make you feel embarrassed that you're out of step or you're some kind of weirdo or wacko. No, 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 no. Those who deny the truth of Scripture, they're the extremists, not us. Now, what in the world does that have to do with what's going on in Italy? Well, you're going to have to stick around after this break, and I'll tell you. Yeah, I really had a reason for that long, long monologue about bent seats and door locks and old trucks. And yeah, I really did have a purpose, but you'll have to hang around to find out what it is.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
All right, if you were listening in the previous segment, I probably bored you to death with old trucks, bench seats, why there are door locks on the passenger side and not on the driver's side on older cars, and a really, really bad joke that young people would have no clue. And I was trying to set up this story about what's happening in Italy. It looks like Italy is going to have its first female prime minister. Now, why do I say it looks like? Well, the Italian government is not like the American government. The Italian government is somewhat like the Israeli government, where there are multiple parties. America has basically a two-party system. Other countries have multiple parties. And when the election is held, none of the parties actually get a majority. And, you know, none of the parties get 52%. They get 29%. And the other parties get 22% or whatever. And a coalition is formed. Liberals, conservatives, right wing, left wing, whatever. And the party that got the most votes finds a coalition of other parties. They get together, and the leader of the party that got the most votes, then, well, they choose the prime minister. And it's probably a terrible description of Italian government, but it's the best I can do. Anyway, it looks like when the dust settles, all of the election results are in and the coalitions are formed to make up a new Italian government, it looks like they're going to have their first female prime minister, Giorgia Meloni. And she's a conservative. It would do you good to look up the speech that she gave just a few days ago. It went viral. It's everywhere. She obviously gave it in Italian. You can look it up on YouTube or whatever with an interpreter or closed caption across the bottom in English. But her speech was incredible. She said that she stands for family. Traditional marriage. She said she will not be ruled by the LGBTQIA plus lobby. She will not allow the gay and lesbian lobby to impact her decisions. She said she's going to stand for smaller government. I mean, it was a speech that if a conservative Republican were to give that speech, conservative Republicans would be on their feet applauding, shouting, yeah! Now, I don't know much about her. I don't know much about her party. I'm not familiar with Italian politics. And to be really honest, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to get familiar with Italian politics. I have enough trouble trying to keep up with American politics. But the reason I'm bringing this to your attention, I have not heard anything from this woman that I or most of you would consider extreme. Right down the line, family values, small government, traditional values, traditional marriage, man, woman, traditional morality, returning back to our roots. She said that several times. We got to get back to our roots as a country. The things that built our country, we've got to get back to the basics of morality and family and faith and so on. So why do I even bring this to your attention? Because she is being portrayed in the media, internationally and here in America, as a right-wing fanatic. Even the New York Post, which is far more conservative than a whole lot of New York news sources, the headline, far-right leader Giorgia Meloni to become Italy's first prime minister. So even the New York Post is portraying her as far-right. And see if this sounds familiar. Her opponents, who are on the left in Italian politics, are calling her a neo-fascist. Where have we heard that? Oh, the President of the United States calling Republicans, conservatives, neo-fascists. Which brings me to this, folks. The world will always try to marginalize those that stand for truth. I don't know much about this woman who looks like she's going to become the first female prime minister of Italy. What I have heard, what I have read, wonderful. But she is being accused of being some far right, kooky, extremist, radical. And that's exactly the same tactics that are going to be used in the political world against conservative Republicans, and in the theological world, those of us who hold to traditional teaching on the inerrancy of Scripture, the infallibility of Scripture, the fundamentals of the faith. And my encouragement to you, my admonition to you, don't let others intimidate you. Believe what you believe. Proclaim what you believe. Don't back down. There has never been a time when you and I should stand more for biblical truth.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.